Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. I'm Gary Dahl, and along with me today is David New, because David Kistler and Sam Rohr are not with us today. They're not necessarily on vacation, but they are out of the country, well, per se. Actually, Sam is not out of the country. He's up around Alaska somewhere, and of course, he's on a trip with ministry leaders. And Brother Dave Kistler is over in Israel with a study group. So hopefully when they come back next week, they'll be able to teach us a whole lot of good things. But today, as was the case yesterday, we have with us David New, who, of course, has, for those of you listening in central Pennsylvania, you know that he's been with us on our former program, Freedom Focus, for many, many years. And David New, you're back with us today. We got quite a few good responses from you co-hosting the program yesterday. So thanks for being with us again today.
Well, I really enjoyed it. It's wonderful to be with you.
How long has it been since we've been together on these programs? Do you know? Did you start counting yet?
I think it's been at least around 5 years.
Oh, I'd think longer than that, probably.
Yeah. it's just been wonderful. I enjoyed it so much yesterday because, you know, not that I don't like to have the other folks around at all. I sure do enjoy being with them. But in the beginning, it was just you and I on the Washington beat, and it was kind of fun to have that again yesterday.
And I still carry my card in case I get thrown into jail when I'm in Washington.
That's right. That's right. You get thrown in jail, you give me a call.
Yeah, I will, as long as you're not there first. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us today. A lot of things to talk about. And David New, I've got something just for you here this afternoon as we get started. Today is quite a significant day for NASA. I'm not sure if you are aware of this or not, but today NASA's Mars Odyssey spacecraft reaches a major milestone because it will complete its 60,000th orbit around Mars. It was shot off to Mars back in, April the 7th of 2001. That's my wife's birthday. April the 7th, 2001, it arrived in the Mars orbit on the 23rd of October, 2001. And on December the 15th, 2010, it became the longest operating spacecraft ever launched to Mars. And so right now it's reached the 60,000th orbit. And NASA has said this, a fellow by the name of Jim Green from NASA has said this, and I quote, "This orbital milestone is an opportunity to celebrate Odyssey's many achievements. Odyssey will continue to help lay a foundation for the first humans to Mars in the 2030s through NASA's Journey to Mars initiative," end quote. And so Odyssey is up there looking at good places to land so that people can go up there and enjoy their summer at on the planet of Mars. And I think that probably they will want to enjoy their summer there because it'll actually be cold there. It'll be, I don't know what the temperature is, but it's really cold up there. So, Dave, if you are planning on going, I would encourage you to go out and get a good heavy jacket and then get on that spaceship and off to Mars you'll go. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, there are some people who would just love to see me go to Mars because they know it's a one-way trip.
Yeah, it is a one-way trip from what I understand right now.
Yeah, if you go, you're not coming back. You're going to be staying there.
So what's the sense in that? Really, what's the sense in that? What is the sense in that? Is that being a hero? Is that being an explorer? What's the sense in that?
Well, of course, it is being an explorer. It's the ultimate Christopher Columbus trip, and it changes the world. The spillover, the technological spillover from space and from NASA has been enormous, and so there's all kinds of benefits to the human race, just increase in knowledge. But I will say this, one thing we can say, we know a lot more about the moon and Mars than in many instances than we do about planet Earth. I just wish that wasn't the case, but it is.
Well, they claim that. They claim that, you know, particularly under the sea, we know more about Mars and the moon than we do the depths of the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean or the Indian Ocean. And that's interesting. Let me ask you a question, David, because this is out there. This is out there, all right? This is out there a lot. Are you ready for this question?
Okay, I got my seatbelt on.
Okay, is there life on other planets?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
I talked to them.
Well, stay tuned for a word from our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Where do we go from here? Answer that question.
If you read the Bible, there is life outside beyond this planet, for sure.
Where do you get that?
In fact, the ultimate form of life, the real meaning of life, and the truest, full sense of life is far beyond Earth. And yet, life is here with us because God is with us, too.
But that's in heaven. That's not on Mars.
I'm talking about other planets. I think the most you're going to find there is a giant candy factory. That's about it.
Mars bars.
Yeah,
I mean, this is my question, not out there in heaven where God is, but you know, what about intelligent life?
Well, there are some people who do believe that we are descendants of some sort of a species that was on Mars and some other planets, and then we got spilled over into Earth. So there's all kinds of people who have all kinds of theories about how life on this planet originated, and that it did originate from an asteroid or a comet or something that came here from outer space, and that began life on this planet. Well, you know, given how the Congress is and how the President of the United States is, there may be some truth to that. But I personally don't believe that.
I don't either. I don't think there's any intelligent life anywhere else in the universe other than in heaven. I understand that.
That's right.
But as far as any other planet is concerned, it's here on planet Earth. And sometimes I wonder about intelligent life here. Of course, you already referred to Washington, D.C. And you better be careful. That's where you're from, brother.
That's right, because I'll tell you right now, the government is listening to everything we're saying right now, so we got to be careful.
That's right. Maybe we better just stop with that. Anyway,
we better stop.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting, and you know, I have always enjoyed watching the space explorations, and you know, I remember watching the first men on the moon back in July of 1969.
And
we've gotten away from all of that, but it was exciting to watch. And yet, you know, David, there are those today who say that really didn't take place, but that was something that was staged out in the desert somewhere. So, you know.
Well, that's what Putin is trying to come up with. I understand the Russians are coming out with some sort of a line, but I think they're not denying that we went to the moon, but I think they're claiming that we found some artifacts, some cultural artifacts to indicate that life was on the moon.
Yeah,
and that we've hid them for all this time.
Yeah, we sure have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break right now, and I trust that you'll stay tuned with us as we come back right after this break with more Stand in the Gap Today.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The United States Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision regarding so-called same-sex marriage any day now, and many expect they will overturn the long-standing definition of marriage. Please pray for a different result. But whatever the court decides, we need to educate ourselves and the next generation about the many reasons why marriage is and should remain the union of one man and one woman. That's one reason why we're hosting Ryan Anderson, the nation's leading spokesman in defense of marriage, at our upcoming City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Conference for Teens. This is the age group that most needs to hear this message. So find out more about City on the Hill today. Space is filling up. To get information, go to our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of David New, who is with me today, I'm Gary Dahl. Of course, Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler are away for the week, and so we are delighted to have David New with us co-hosting today. Tomorrow, I might mention that we will be having one of our American Pastor Network's state leaders, Jim Brattell, will be with us. Jim, of course, is our state leader for the state of Arkansas. He will be with us, and we will be talking also with a man by the name of Steve Jolly on how to be prepared for disasters, whether it's a natural disaster or a nuclear disaster. Many Christians avoid that thought, and I think we all should be kept up to date about it. And so the Lord willing, along with Jim Brattell, will be having Steve Jolly with us to talk about that very issue. One thing, though, that I want to bring to your attention right away is the idea that well, let me back up a little bit. We have a lot of listeners in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have listeners across this nation and around the world, literally, through the internet on the program. But we have a lot of listeners in Pennsylvania, and what I'm going to talk about here is directed primarily to Pennsylvania. Those of you who are not citizens of this state, well, you can pray about this. But one of the big issues in Pennsylvania today is sex trafficking. And, you know, it seemingly is growing in this Commonwealth of ours. There were 81 reported cases of sex trafficking in Pennsylvania last year alone. And the FBI indicates that strip clubs are havens for sex trafficking. And, you know, there are strip clubs all across this particular state of ours. As a matter of fact, there are 115 strip clubs in 66 counties across Pennsylvania. I happen to live in the city of Altoona, and it's pretty difficult for a sexual-oriented business to come into Altoona due to the zoning structure that they've put together here. But this idea of sex trafficking is big in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And with the connection of sex trafficking to adult-oriented businesses, strip clubs and so forth, there should be strict regulations on these establishments to help prevent sex trafficking. In Pennsylvania, and again, we're focusing on our state here, criminals of sex trafficking are able to own, operate, and work for adult-oriented establishments. And in these establishments, law enforcement does not have an easy way to account for each performer to help stop any women or any woman or any women from being trafficked in these locations. And it's interesting to observe that here in Pennsylvania, that barbershops and church kitchens are more strictly regulated than in Pennsylvania than adult-oriented establishments. So the Pennsylvania Family Institute and others are working to try to stop sex trafficking here in Pennsylvania. And there is a bill in the Pennsylvania General Assembly. It's House Bill, that's HB 262, that would really put forth the effort to stop sex trafficking here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. In fact, it would do at least three things. Number one, it would prevent adult-oriented establishments from being run by or employing those involved in sex trafficking or other crimes, such as prostitution or exploitation of children. Number two, it would provide for information gathering and training for law enforcement and others who interact with potential victims to identify where sex trafficking may be occurring. And number three, HB 262 would update our current law on adult-oriented establishments to provide an environment less likely to create the demand for trafficked persons. And so I want to encourage you today to call your Pennsylvania state legislator and ask him or her to support HB 262. That is HB 262. And right now, out of the 203 representatives in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, there are 78 sponsors of this particular bill. So we do have a ways to go. And this could be voted on practically at any time. So call your state representative if you're in Pennsylvania and ask him or her to support HB 262. The phone number to call would be 717-772-9900. And that's the switchboard in Harrisburg. You give the name of your particular representative and they will patch you into that person. The number to call is 717-772-9900. 717-772-9900. And David knew this is not only a problem here in Pennsylvania, but it's a problem all across this nation, and it's something that needs to be stopped. I don't know if you've ever done any study on it or not, but, you know, it completely devalues ladies, and not only that, it's really a sin that shows the depravity of mankind. I don't know if you have any comments you'd like to make on that or not.
Well, here again, it ties back to the institution of marriage.
Hmm.
This is why marriage is so very, very important, because marriage elevates women. It takes them away from being a sex object, as something of a toy for a man, to being an honorable person, in the sense that they are to be respected and honored and cherished and valued as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where marriage comes in. It's marriage elevates women. It puts them on a pedestal where they belong, and they should be honored and respected. And so when you take away from the institution of marriage, you're leaving them, these ladies, exposed to all kinds of abuse, to sexual exploitation, and all type of things. So here again, if we want our culture to be healthy and strong, we've got to get back to the family, get back to the basics. That's where the solution is. That's one of the reasons why we're in trouble, is we have moved away from that. If we get back to that, we can fix this country.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. There are all sorts of statistics out there, David, that shows when men particularly get involved with pornography and strip clubs. And, of course, there are women involved with it as well. But particularly
sure.
When men get involved with it, it just breaks down the family. They lose their jobs. There's usually an increase in prostitution, an increase in drugs, an increase in alcohol. It really has nothing good for our country.
The spillover effect is enormous, and it's all bad.
It is indeed. And so if you live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, we're asking you to call your representative and tell him or her to support House Bill. That's HB 262. The number to call is 717-772-9900. That's the switchboard in Harrisburg. Let them know who your representative is, and they will patch you into his or her office. That's 717-772-9900. And these are ways in which you and I, as citizens of the United States of America, can make a difference. Yesterday, we encouraged you to call your representative in Washington. Now we're asking you to call your representative here in Pennsylvania, and I would encourage you to do that. Now, one of the other issues that is really bringing forth its head here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as well as other places across the country, is this idea of online gambling. And that means that, you'll be able to gamble right in your own living room or your bedroom or your office or wherever you are. And, David, we've only got seconds here before this break. But isn't it true that gambling is another devastating issue for our society?
It absolutely is, because it hurts the poor people, the lowest income people, the most of all. People who make, for example, a study was done on lotteries, and people who make around $13,000 on average in 2010, if they made $13,000, they invested, I'm sad to say, 9% of their income in lotteries. And I'm getting this from an article that was written by Steven Rosenfeld called "Disturbing Facts About State Lotteries." How they prey on the poor and trash the economy, and political leaders don't care. That's the title of the article, and you can Google that and see all these interesting statistics. African Americans and lotteries are involved to the tune of the average of $998. Whites, it's $210. Non-college graduates, on the average, they spend $700. College graduates, $200. So it adversely affects the poorest people in your communities more than any other group, and that's why it's not a good idea.
But it's not a good idea, and we're dealing with it here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we'll be talking more about that after we come back from our break. So stay tuned. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the ministry of the American Pastors Network. Along with David New, I'm Gary Dahl. We're going to take this break, but we will be back with more right after this. So please don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A bill giving President Obama fast-track authority on trade deals advances in the Senate. 60 senators, just enough, voting to limit debate, setting up a final vote tomorrow. The top Senate Republican, Mitch McConnell.
This is an important moment for the country. It sets in motion the completion of a project we set out on literally months ago.
Supporters, including President Obama, say this will create a level playing field. Union leaders and many Democrats say it'll cost American jobs. The actor Dick Van Patten has died in Santa Monica, California. He was 86 and had diabetes. He's the dad on the TV show Eight is Enough.
I get plenty of exercise. Just watch how vigorously my head revolves around my neck.
Hey, Dad!
He was in a ton of other shows, movies, and Broadway plays starting at age 7 and co-founded the Natural Balance Pet Food Company. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Gary Dahl, along with David New, as David Kistler and Sam Rohr are not with us this week. I want to remind you that tomorrow we will be having as our co-host one of our American Pastor Network leaders from Arkansas. Jim Brittell is his name, and among other things we will be talking about, how important it is to be prepared for a natural disaster or something even like a nuclear war. Our guest will be a fellow by the name of Steve Jolly. I'm sure you'll not want to miss that program. David New, we're talking about this idea of gambling, and of course one of the issues that we face here in Pennsylvania as well as across the country is online gambling. And I'm going to encourage our listeners in Pennsylvania again to call your representative and say, look, you do not want to vote for online gambling. We just don't want it in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The number to call is 717-772-9900. And David, when it comes to any kind of gambling, you know, people say online gambling, that's just in my own home, or the lottery, that's just something between me and the kiosk where I get it, get the ticket and so forth and so on. But gambling really does have devastating effects. You were talking about that a little bit before the break. I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that just a little bit more for us, please.
Well, lotteries, for example, used to be illegal in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the only people who conducted lotteries was organized criminals. It was called numbers. Then, I'm sad to say, the first state that began lotteries was in 1964 with New Hampshire. And if these statistics are correct on that article I was talking about, disturbing facts about state lotteries, by Stephen Rosenfeld, there are only two states that don't have a state lottery now, and that's Utah and Hawaii.
Hmm.
And the irony of this thing is so disadvantageous towards the poor people of all groups. For example, there are 11 states who get more money from state lotteries than they do from corporate taxation. That's Delaware, West Virginia, Rhode Island, Oregon, South Dakota, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio, and South Carolina. They get more from lotteries than they do from corporate income tax. And, of course, that means it's affecting the poor the most adversely. If you want to, one of the reasons why we have this income gap between the rich and the poor is because the poor are squandering their money on things they shouldn't be doing. Another statistic, people who earn around $25,000 on average, when they get involved in these lotteries, they spend about $600 on lottery tickets. People who make $100,000 spend about $300 on lottery tickets. Mm. Now, that tells you that the poor are the ones who are most vulnerable to this kind of behavior, and of course, it's the most regressive form of taxation there is, which means the less you make, the higher percentage of your income goes out in taxes. The U.S. income tax situation is a progressive tax. The more you make, the higher percentage you pay in taxes. In state lotteries, it's the exact opposite. The less you make, the more you're going to pay in taxes, because that's what this really is a tax, and it's a bad one.
Well, it is. And, you know, you talk about the poor. My dad, David, was a postmaster back in western Pennsylvania. And he used to say that you could always tell when the Social Security, not the Social Security, but the welfare check would come out, that people would not even wait until it was delivered to their home. Rather, they would go to the post office and request the check be given to them. And then they would get on the bus and go to Atlantic City and gamble it away. And you know, of course, then they would lose their money. And
That's right.
What they didn't gamble away with at the casino, they would drink away with alcohol and come home broke. I mean,
this whole business of lotteries and gambling, what it basically is, it is a bar to moving up the economic ladder. That's what it's going to do. And the reason why politicians in Pennsylvania and throughout the state capitals like this sort of thing is because it's an easy way to get money, and it's an easy way. They don't have to raise taxes to pay for whatever services they want to use it for. And so but it affects the poor the most. I mean, if you also look at a lot of these day laborers, Mexicans and people from Central America, as soon as they get their money, they hit these lottos machines right off the bat. They go in these stores and buy them. Now, the reason why they do it, I understand. The reason why they do it is they're saying, my income level, my skills are so low that I can only make just so much money, and therefore I'm going to go to the one thing that can give me a big win. The only problem is the odds of you getting it are not very good at all. And even those who do win, how many times have they filed bankruptcy? How many families have been ruined by people who won these multi-million dollar lotteries? It's unbelievable, the stories.
Well, it is. And, you know, I've got a couple of stories I can tell on the from the civic side of it, I guess I should say, Atlantic City in New Jersey for many, many years was a vacation spot for families. And, families would go there from all over the country just to enjoy the Atlantic Ocean and the boardwalk, during the summertime. And a number of years ago, they brought in gambling, as I'm sure you are aware. And right now, if you go to Atlantic City, two or three blocks back from the boardwalk is nothing but drugs, prostitution. The economy of the area is down. And, of course, right now, because of the fact that casinos are being planted across the country, it used to be Las Vegas or Reno or Atlantic City or Biloxi, Mississippi. But right now they're all across the country. And so some of the casinos in Atlantic City are being closed down. And so you've got these big buildings. They're empty. They're going to become blight, no doubt. But it did nothing for that particular community. And I remember, David, a number of years ago speaking at the convention for the National Rescue Mission folk. And it was the National Convention of the Rescue Missions, I guess is what it was. And I talked to the fellow who ran the rescue mission in Atlantic City, and he said that before gambling came in, they might have 10 or 15 people in their mission at night. But after gambling came in, they had to enlarge their facilities because they were getting 150 or 200 people.
Oh. And listen, when you get involved in this thing, ladies and gentlemen, when you get involved with lotteries and gambling and all of this kind of thing, please think of it this way. Put your name on the sucker list, because that's where you belong when you get involved in this sort of stuff. You need to learn how to create wealth, and that means working and saving. That's how you create wealth and investing, but investing in good investments. This is the way to get you and your family up the economic ladder.
I agree with that 100%, but we are living in a day where there's a lot of dirty money flowing around out there. And a lot of our governmental leaders think that, establishing a statewide lottery or online gambling or putting up a casino in a particular area is a way to bring money, to bring revenue into the government. Talk about that, David. Why is that not a good thing, to bring gambling money, to use gambling money as a way to supposedly increase the revenue in a particular jurisdiction?
Well, it's clearly not a moral foundation. A moral foundation for taxes should be that you take the money, you take the tax from people's earnings and from their wealth that they have accumulated, and that it's being used for something solid and productive, and that's in the public interest. When you use things like lotteries and things like that, you are preying upon, first of all, the poorest, but you're also going to a source of income that doesn't generate wealth and doesn't increase the economic mobility of people. So it's very much it's a way for politicians to spend money and not stand up and say and defend why they're raising taxes or how they're using tax money. It's an easy out for the political person, and that's wrong. That person should be held accountable for every dollar and penny they spend, and this is a way for them to get away from it.
Well, that's right. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in Pennsylvania where they are considering this idea of online gambling, call your representative at 717-772-9900 and say that you do not want online gambling here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Probably on Thursday, we will be talking about that more because Senator John Eichelberger will be with us. Well, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more, along with David New, right after this break. We're going to talk a little bit maybe about the Confederate flag in South Carolina. Is that good, bad, or indifferent that it was taken down? So we'll be back with more right after this. On behalf of David New, I'm Gary Dahl. Stay tuned.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Under an elm tree in what was to become the city of Philadelphia, William Penn signed a treaty with the Delaware Indians this day, June 23, 1683. A Quaker who took his faith seriously, Penn insisted on dealing fairly with the Indians, buying the land rather than taking it by force. As a result, his colony was never attacked. William Penn addressed the tribe, "My friends, there is one great God that hath made the world and all things therein, to whom you and I and all peoples owe their being. This great God hath written in our hearts to love and help one another and not to do harm."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
At the end of his life, King Solomon stated his concluding counsel for all who would listen: fear God and keep his commandments. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible speaks a lot about the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom, which God says in James 1:6, we can have if we ask. But the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowledge and understanding truth. It's a fountain of life. It's more valuable than great wealth. King David says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When a nation fears God and obeys His commands, their leaders will rule in the fear of God, and He will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Do you fear God? If so, the Bible says you will hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network asking you, do you want wisdom, understanding, knowledge, safety, and confidence? Then fear the Lord and keep His commandments, because that's where blessing always starts.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And along with me is David Deneau, who, of course, has been associated with me on radio for many, many years. And he is filling in today since Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr are out of town. And in Dave's case, out of the country over in Israel. David knew there's another situation going on in the country today, and that's down in South Carolina. As we know, over the week, or no, last week, there were 9 people killed there at the Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina. And I'm very thankful for the way that the Christians and the people in South Carolina are handling that. They do not have Jesse Jackson there or Al Sharpton stirring things up. But, you know, for many years, I guess, the Confederate flag was hanging at the State House there in South Carolina. I believe it's Columbia, South Carolina, is the capital of South Carolina. But yesterday, the governor, who I believe is a born-again Christian, if I'm not mistaken, Nikki Haley, took the flag down. She said, and I quote, "The time has come that the flag, while an integral part of the past, does not represent the future of our great state." She went on to say, David, "We are not going to allow this symbol to divide us any longer. The fact that people are choosing to use it as a sign of hate is something that we cannot stand. The fact that it causes pain to so many is enough to move it from the Capitol grounds. It is, after all, a capital that belongs to all of us." Now, she also indicated that if individuals want to fly the flag, that's fine. Now, Charles Krauthammer, contributed to this discussion, and he said this, and I quote, "Had the flag not existed or not been on the grounds of the Capitol, the massacre would have happened in any case. But it's the standard liberal impulse. Something happened really bad, so there's got to be a problem. There has to be a solution. We must do something, even if that something is entirely irrelevant." That, of course, is Charles Krauthammer. David Deneau, what are your thoughts on this? Is it good, bad, or indifferent for the Confederate flag to be hanging on the Capitol grounds of South Carolina or anywhere else for that matter?
You know, this is one of the great tragedies, this debate about the Confederate flag. The problem or the sad part about this debate is that both sides are 100% right.
Hmm.
The African-American community is totally justified in being against the Confederate flag. They have every right to feel that way. They have every good reason to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an African-American, I'm not from the South. I'm from the West. I'm from California. We're crazier than anybody else.
Yeah, well, we'll pray
but
for you. I was out there last week and couldn't wait to get back.
But what I'm saying is, if I was African-American, I would hate that flag myself.
Mm.
Because I can tell you, to African-Americans, the Confederate flag is no different from a swastika.
Hmm.
At the same time,
from the perspective of the African American, you're saying, yeah, all right.
Okay. At the same time, there are many whites, Southern whites, who see more, far more, than oppression in that flag. They are also right. They see a Southern heritage, a great heritage that wasn't limited to just slavery, but included all kinds of other things. The Southern way of life. They acknowledge that slavery is wrong, thank God. It is wrong. It is a sin, and they know that, and they were wrong. But they're saying that that flag represents more than that. And they are right, too. And this is why it's impossible to win in this situation. Both parties are right. But I will say this. If we go down that path and we continue down that path, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to want to have the American flag taken down.
Well, you
because,
know,
I mean, I will say this. It certainly doesn't bother me to see the Confederate flag taken down in South Carolina. That doesn't bother me. I'm not from South Carolina. That decision belongs to those folks. It's not my decision. But it certainly doesn't upset me. But I can warn people, if you go down that path all the way, you're going to find a lot of people who don't want to see the U.S. flag up either, because they see that as a symbol of capitalistic oppression. They see that as a Monsanto flag. They see that as a corporation flag. They see that as an oppressive flag, a polluter of the earth, and a warmongering symbol. So you got to watch it. You got to be careful. Don't get swept away by the emotions of the moment. Think clearly and cautiously before you act.
So should the flag stay or be taken?
Well, it should. That is something that the people in South Carolina should decide. I'm not going to advise them. But what I'm trying to say is they both are right, and they both need to talk to each other and communicate that fact to each other, because it is that's the way to deal with the situation.
But you don't want and our time is very short here. But you know, David, that flag, and I'm probably like you. I wouldn't come down on one side of it or the other. Certainly, I'm not in favor of slavery. We know that. You know that.
Sure.
APN is not in favor of it. It's
of course.
In fact, it was pastors who, through their preaching, contributed to I think, you know, Abraham Lincoln doing away with it. And of course, well, we could go into that forever. But it is a part of our history.
Yes.
And so if that flag is taken away, is that erasing a part of our history that has lessons for us to learn?
Well, there's all kinds of reasons. And so what they're saying is if you do take it down, put it in a museum so that the history lesson can't be taught.
Okay.
But so there is that feature of it. This is a situation where you cannot win because they're both right. This is what breaks my heart when I see this fight and you see this debate between the two camps. They are both right. So what is the right thing to do? It's very, very difficult in a situation like that. I'm only grateful for the fact that California doesn't have that situation.
Yeah, but you have a lot of other things out there.
Yes.
You know, you're in
our lady, our the one that the woman that's on our great seal is a man. Is a woman dressed in men's clothing, and so California has taken that as a hint from then on. It's ruined the whole state.
You're quite the guy. You know, your ministry's in Washington, D.C., and you're from California. I'm not sure about you, brother. That's why you were so colorful, I guess I should
say. That's right, colorful.
That's a good word to use, colorful. But, but, you know, this is spreading across the country. I understand Mississippi is thinking about the same thing. You know, Walmart is taking, in some areas, have taken the Confederate flag off of their shelves. What about that?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's a business decision, and if that's what they want to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
But when they do these kind of things, they are dealing with superficial aspects
of it. There you go. That's right.
It's the surface.
And
they're not really dealing with the issue. If you really want to deal with the nutcases like Roof and all these kind of characters, what you really need to do is to remind people that we are created in the image of God.
And with that,
gives the human being a human being value. That's where it comes from.
And that's where we're ending today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.